Translation. My dear Maharaj Parikshit, because of intense love and affection, Mother Yashoda, Krishna's mother, considered Krishna, who was at the peak of all opulences, to be her own son. Thus she took Krishna by the hand, along with Balaram, and brought them home, where she performed her duties by fully bathing them, dressing them, and feeding them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is always neat, clean, and opulent, and does not need to be washed, bathed, or dressed. Yet Mother Yashoda, because of affection, considered him her ordinary child and did her duties to keep her son brilliant. And so that's the whole purport, just the one sentence. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse is describing the relationship between Krishna and his mother Yashoda during his childhood pastimes in Vrindavan. So he was out playing with Balaram and with his friends, and Mother Yashoda was calling him to come home. She wanted to bathe him and dress him because she thought he was dirty. You know, this verse is explaining how Krishna can never be dirty because his body is always shining and brilliant and pure. But for Mother Yashoda, because she considered Krishna to be her son, she saw him as being dirty. So Krishna allowed that by the potency of Yoga Maya. He allowed her to see him that way, and he allowed her to bathe him and dress him, just to satisfy her desires to serve him as a mother serves a son. So before that is described how they were out playing and Krishna didn't want to come home. So she was calling him and calling him. And in fact, first of all, Rohini was calling them. The mother of Balaram was calling them. And they didn't come. And this is... this is a very familiar situation for parents, even in this world, with young children. The children are out playing. The mother wants to bring them home, wants to feed them. But they're so absorbed in their playing that they're just ignoring her. So Krishna played in that same way, like an ordinary child. He appeared to be. That he was so absorbed in playing with his friends that he was ignoring his mother. So he, first of all, they ignored Mother Rohini, so then Rohini, she called Yashoda to call them. But saying that she had more affection. Of course, Mother Rohini had so much affection for both Krishna and Balaram. But Mother Yashoda is the Supreme Mother of the Lord. And so it was considered that she had the most affection. So she was given the task to go and call them. And so this play, this rasa was going on. She tried telling Krishna that all your friends are already, they've already gone home, they've taken bath, just see how nicely they're dressed and decorated. So she was trying to encourage that spirit of competition between friends. But Krishna didn't respond. And then she told him that your father Nanda is waiting for you to eat. Because usually the father and son, they would eat together. And it is described in the Krishna book that actually that is what tipped the scale for Krishna. When he heard that his father was waiting and that his father was not eating, then he agreed to come home. So you can see what's going on here is this two rasas are going on. When Krishna was playing as a child with his friends in Sakyaras, and then he was interacting with his parents in Vatsalya Ras. So the two rasas were competing there. Krishna was absorbed in playing with his friends. He wanted to give pleasure to his friends. But then when Mother Yashoda told him that his father was waiting for him to eat, then the Vatsalya Ras became more powerful. And Krishna surrendered to his mother. He went home and very obediently he allowed her to wash him, to dress him, and to decorate him. Even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pure and brilliant, he allowed all this business to go on with his devotees, with his loving devotees. So in the hierarchy of rasas, the Vatsalya Ras is actually superior to Sakya Ras. And so the Vatsalya Ras won. And as we know, the conjugal ras is the highest. But in Krishna's childhood pastimes, it was mainly Sakya Ras and Vatsalya Ras that were going on and were competing with each other. So Krishna just wants to give pleasure to his devotees. And his devotees, they want to give pleasure to Krishna. So this competition is going on all the time. And the same thing goes on in the later pastimes between Radha and Krishna, between the gopis and Krishna. There's this constant competition to give pleasure to each other. So Krishna is known as Rasaraj, the king of rasas. And this is what's so special about Vrindavan, that all these rasas, the full range of rasas can be found in Vrindavan, which cannot be found in any other place, in the Vaikuntha planets. When the Lord shows himself as Lord Narayan, then you can see the Dasya Ras is going on there, the awe and reverence. But when he appears in Vrindavan, with all his full opulences as Krishna, the original form of Krishna, then he can taste all the different rasas with his devotees. And these rasas also, in this material world, we can see the reflection of these rasas going on. So the difference between, because Krishna is controlled by love, by the love of his devotees. And we can see also in this world that what everyone is looking for is love. that love, because the original love for Krishna is it's what's missing, is what needs to be revived. So Srila Prabhupada said that of all the relationships in the material world, of love in the material world, because in the material world there's also love, but because of the material contamination, it's contaminated with selfishness. So it's like a mixture of selflessness and selfishness that are competing there. So that's why he said, of all the relationships in the material world, the most pure love is the love of a mother for her child. And that can even be extended to a father as well. The mother's love for the child is selfless, because a mother, she will do anything for her child without getting anything back. The mother is always on call. As all mothers know, when they have young children, that they're always on call and they're always serving their children in so many different ways, feeding them, dressing them, and taking care of them. And the children, they're not giving anything, they're not doing anything for their parents, but the parents, they serve them selflessly. But they're getting they're getting some taste, some pleasure, because of the relationship is there. But otherwise it's a thankless task. And that's what means real love, that it's selfless, it's not expecting anything in return. So Mother Yashoda was the epitome of motherly love, selfless motherly love. And Nanda Maharaj was the epitome of selfless fatherly love. And you can see this even in the pastimes of Ram. Maharaj Dasarath had so much love for Lord Ram that when Ram left to go to the forest, his father, Dasarath Maharaj, he actually left his body out of separation. He couldn't bear the separation. And he actually left his body. So this was another amazing example of Vatsalya Ras in its pure form. And when Krishna left Vrindavan, similarly, all the residents of Vrindavan felt so much separation that they became almost lifeless. And this included the parents, the friends, and of course the gopis. That it was very difficult for them to live without Krishna. So we can see that the spiritual world, it's all about relationships, it's all about love. So similarly in this world, for aspiring devotees, relationships of love are the way that we advance towards Krishna. And is described by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction, the Priti Lakshanam, the six exchanges of love between devotees, giving and receiving gifts, and giving and receiving prasad, and sharing confidences with each other. So it's all about developing love, like the relationship between guru and disciple is also about developing love. While the rules and regulations are there to guide us and for us to follow, but the goal is to develop love. So it begins with awe and reverence. When you accept a guru, you serve him with awe and reverence. And that respect, that relationship of superior and inferior, has to always be there. But then it develops more closely and closely. And the element of friendship comes in for devotees who are advanced in the relationship with the guru. Then element of friendship also comes in love. So similarly, in Vrindavan pastimes, there are all these different rasas, they also overlap. So the parental ras, which is being shown here, which is being described here, it's in the mood of love, but there has to be some hierarchy there. So Krishna, he accepts Mother Yashoda as his superior, and he surrenders to her, even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord of all creation. But he takes great pleasure in surrendering to his mother and allowing her to bathe him and dress him and feed him very lovingly and tenderly. And this actually gives him more pleasure. He actually gets more pleasure from being served in this way than being served in awe and reverence by the demigods who are chanting Vedic hymns to him. Just like in the pastime of the lifting of Govardhan Hill, and when Lord Indra came down, when Lord Indra was subdued and he came down to beg forgiveness for his offenses, and he brought all the paraphernalia to worship Krishna, to worship him as God, and all the demigods, they came to worship him. But this was Vrindavan, and Krishna wanted to play with his friends, so he was not very interested in all this worship. After it was over, then they used this paraphernalia to play with his friends. So we worship in awe and reverence. The awe and reverence must be there. Of course, we always remember the position of Krishna. But these pastimes are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and explained by Srila Prabhupada to give us some taste of what is in store for us in the future, of the goal. That when we finally reach that goal to come out of our material whirlpool and to go back to our real home, all these beautiful relationships are there in store for us. But of course, it's a gradual transition, it's a gradual process. So it's not that we just suddenly leave the material world, material conditioned life, and jump into the spiritual world. So that's why we have this process of cleaning the heart, of chanting and hearing and associating with devotees. And in this process, the relationships is actually the most important. That's why we chant in Srila Prabhupada's Pranam prayer, Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschachyade Shatarine. That was the greatest mission of Srila Prabhupada in coming to the West, was to deliver us from impersonalism and voidism. So we have to be vigilant about this. We have to be conscious of when impersonalism creeps into our relationships or into our behavior. That's why the greatest offense in chanting the holy names is sadhu ninda, to offend a Vaishnava. And the greatest offense is to be impersonal towards someone. Even Krishna himself, he prefers that when the demons are offending him and insulting him, then when the Mayavadis, they ignore him. When people are impersonal towards him, that is the thing that he hates the most. Because when the demons are challenging him to a fight, then at least there's some personal interaction. At least they accept Krishna as a person. They see him as a person. But even though that rasa may be a negative rasa, that they're showing a hate rather than love, but still that is a greater than being an impersonalist, because they are seeing him as a person, and that love is there that will come out, because the hate is like the opposite, the other side of the coin from love. But it's all personal. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Jai Shri Shri Gonitai. So the worst offense to Krishna is to be impersonal, to ignore him. And the worst offense to a living entity also is to be impersonal and to ignore them. And that's also it's a nice kind of initiative that is going on this year here at the manor, that about receiving guests, Atithi Deva, because that is also what attracts people to Krishna consciousness. I mean, everything is important. The philosophy, of course, is very important. But actually, what tips the scales for people, what really connects people with Krishna, is personal behavior. When a devotee reaches out to someone with kindness, with compassion, and touches someone's heart, that's what actually bring someone to Krishna. So it's very important that every person who walks through the door of Bhaktivedanta Manor should be greeted and should be taken care of. And it's a very big job, because so many people are coming here now. This place is very popular. So it's a great challenge to take care of all of them. But it's very important to do so, because this is Krishna's house, and they're coming here to see Krishna. But they are being connected to Krishna by his devotees. So the devotees are actually representing Krishna, representing the Guru, by welcoming people here and by also going out and preaching and giving Krishna to others. So it's really important to be very personal and kind to everyone, and not to discriminate. Just as Lord Nityananda, he never discriminated. He gave his mercy to everyone, even the most fallen. And the Sankirtan devotees, they do that. They go out and they give their mercy and give Prabhupada's books to everyone. So this is the Sankirtan movement, and we should all have this mood of not discriminating between people and trying to give Krishna to everyone. And also in our relationships with each other, to be always kind and caring and non-judgmental. because Krishna is not judgmental. Krishna is unlimitedly compassionate and caring to all his devotees and to every living entity. So this is the mood we need to cultivate. And so we're all brought together with each other for a reason. And actually all the relationships in this material world, they're a testing ground for our relationship with Krishna. So depending on how we learn to have loving relationships in the material world, that's how we become ready, that's how we become purified, and that's how we attract Krishna. So whether it's in family life or temple life or out there interacting with non-devotees, it's all about relationships. Just as in the spiritual world, everything is based on love and service. So devotees are servants of each other and servants of Krishna. And Krishna is, more than being served, Krishna also likes to give service. So loving service is the highest taste and is the ultimate goal of whatever we're doing. So I will stop there and ask if anyone would like to ask any question or add anything further to this.